Well, amen. Anybody want to take a guess this morning which book of the Bible we're going to be preaching in? If you've been with us for any time, I probably don't even need to say. I probably just say open your Bibles and you're going to know where to go to. But we've been going through Matthew this September. I think the last Sunday in September this year will be 2 years that we've been going line by line and verse by verse, which seems crazy. Some of y'all might have seen like 4 years. I don't know. But we've been going through Matthew for almost 2 years now. We're about halfway through. But man, I don't want to get in any rush. Every time I try to rush through, every time I try to think that I need to hurry up, it's like God just says, would you slow down? What's the hurry? Just talk about me and read my word and focus on all the little messages that I give you over and over through your word. If you were here last week we talked about the storms of life. We talked about in verse 22 through 33 in Matthew 14, we saw where Jesus sent his disciples out after feeding all these people. He sends them out into this, out across the Sea of Galilee, and all of a sudden they find themselves in this terrible, life-threatening storm. And if you weren't with us last week, we talked about how so often we can relate. If we really think about it, we can relate with the disciples and how they must have felt in the storm. When the storms come, we feel hopeless. And sometimes, if you're like me, you often, the first thing you do is you start questioning, why, God? Why am I dealing with this? Why do I have this thorn in my flesh? Why do I have to deal with this storm? Why is everything seem to be going sideways in my life? But as we saw in this event last week, Jesus never forgets about us. He never forgot about his disciples. He never forsakes us. Right, Will? That's what we talked about. That's what he talked about with the youth group on Wednesday night. In fact, we saw five things last week that should give us insurance, some kind of assurance when we face these storms of life. No matter what we're facing, Jesus brought you to it. Jesus is interceding for you. He's actively praying for you. Jesus will meet you where you are. Jesus wants to help you grow right in the middle of that storm. And Jesus is always going to see you through. Now, we talked about it. It might not be the way that you thought it would be, the ending of the story or the ending of that storm or how it worked, but it's always, Jesus is always there if we look to him. Just like when Peter was falling into the water, if he just cried out to the Lord, Jesus was always in arm's reach just to reach down and help him through the storm and to show him that he had authority and power over the storm. Well, today as we wrap up chapter 14 in Matthew, we're going to see what happens when the disciples get to the other side of the sea. You see, even though this was a small event recorded at the tail end of these two well-known miraculous events that we've talked about the last couple weeks, there's a powerful message in these four verses that we're going to read today. And I was telling Malcolm just a little while ago, I said, you know, I tried to put this in just because in my mind it would be easier just to wrap that up and just kind of squeeze these couple verses in last week, and the Lord wouldn't let me do it. You see, at this point, people had already heard and they've been hearing about Jesus and his power, all the things that he'd been doing. Many people had seen his power. They'd seen him heal people. There were many people following him and beginning to place their trust in him. And I'm here to remind you of this today. We are living in a time where Jesus' power needs to be sought and trusted more right now than I believe ever. Amen? And not just by those who have never heard the gospel, and not just those who are of some other faith that we're concerned about. Not for those who are actively just going out and they're mockers and sinners that the Bible talks about. But for those of us in the church as well. You see, there are many of us who come to church services each week that are desperate, and we're in desperate need of trusting Jesus and his power in our life. We might have been a church member for years. We might have been a believer for years. But we came today desperate for the need and the ability and the faith to just say, I'm going to trust you, Jesus, in the middle of all this that's going on. So as we look at this text for today, we're going to see these in just five easy steps to seeking Christ and being made whole. So if you're struggling, maybe you're in the middle of a storm, and we're going to keep talking about that a little bit. There's five steps. Maybe you feel like, I'm not whole. There's something missing in my life. I know there's a purpose beyond what I'm doing. No matter how successful you are, no matter what trials you're going through, no matter what mountaintop you're on, there's always that hole in your heart that you say, what's missing? Five steps to seeking Christ to be made whole in Christ. The title of the sermon today, if you want, it's A Trip to Gennesaret. I think that's how you say it. Gennesaret. We need to take a trip to Gennesaret today and really look at the people there and what they did, because they're going to show us these five steps. Let's read Matthew chapter 14, verse 34, 35, and 36. Remember, they just walked on the water. They just saw all these things. They just worshiped Jesus and they said, "You really are the Son of God." And then we pick up right here, verse 34. After they had crossed the lake, they landed in Gennesaret. When the people recognized Jesus, the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area. And soon the people were bringing all their sick to be healed. They begged him to let the sick just touch the fringe of his robe. And all who touched him were healed. Now, what we're going to do this morning, we did this with the youth retreat. Somebody wasn't listening. Somebody was thinking about, well, that's not the translation I use. Where is he going with this? Or what do I got to do this afternoon? So let's go back and let's read it again and listen to God's word today. After they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. When the people recognized Jesus, the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area. And soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe. And all who touched him were healed. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the reading of your word today. And Lord, and we just pray that you would break through today. Break the chains. Break the hardened hearts. Break our distracted minds. Break the bad habits and our sinful nature. And let us just listen to how easy you made it for us to be made whole in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing I want to point out this morning is this. I have to admit that before studying this week on these few verses, I really don't ever really remembering much about this place that we just talked about and where they landed in Gennesaret. But as I was studying this week, I discovered this land of Gennesaret wasn't a poor and barren land. Jesus didn't go to a place where the people had nothing, and it's just like this desert land, and people had nothing at all, and he needed to go help them because they were poor. In fact, this land was unusually fertile. It was like, it was this plain of beauty on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. It was only like a mile deep and 3 miles wide. It wasn't real big, but people would refer to it. It was so fertile, it was so plush and so beautiful that people called it paradise. While other people called it the Garden of Princes. This is the kind of place that they landed on. Just a beautiful, green, plush place. I remember every trip I've been on overseas, you go to Zimbabwe and God's creation is beautiful no matter where you go. You can find beauty in it. But there's no grass. There's not a whole lot of green trees. It's a lot of dirt and sand and rocks. Even in India and a lot of times the roadways and the houses aren't as pretty and nice. And when you fly back over America and you get over American soil and you look down, even in Washington, D.C., take that in for a second. You look at Washington, D.C., and you look at America, and you see it. It looks like a paradise. So why do I tell you this little bit about where this event took place? Well, it's because I believe us as Americans can relate to this today. You see, we are blessed to live in a fertile and a beautiful paradise in the land that we call United States of America. But as blessed as we are to live here, these earthly pleasures, the earthly freedom that we have, all of our earthly blessings can only bring us just physical, temporary peace and wholeness. See, living in this great nation cannot bring me peace in my soul, cannot make me whole like Christ can make me whole. There are Christians all over the world that live in mud shacks with grass roofs that hide from persecutors during the day and they worship at night. And when they make the decision to follow Christ, they know when they make that decision that they're not going to live as long as they would have, or that they're going to be persecuted, or they may even be killed for their faith. They have no money to their name, and they wonder where their next meal is going to come from. Yet they have more comfort, and they have more faith, they have more peace in their soul than most Americans do living here in this place today. In fact, they are most likely at more peace than somebody who came here today to this service. Maybe somebody who's listening online. So I just want to set the stage where we are in this event and where it took place, because these people, they had it made. They lived in a beautiful, thriving place, yet they still sought to be healed. They were desperate, and they still sought to be made whole by Christ. They were still missing that what we call a God-shaped hole in their heart. And they needed something to fill it, and they knew it. So let's look at verse 34 and 35 again, and we'll talk about it. We'll start getting into these easy steps that we see. It says this: after they had crossed the lake, they landed in Gennesaret. When the people recognized Jesus, the news of his arrival spread quickly throughout the whole area. And soon people were bringing all the sick to be healed. So here we see the first two steps in these verses right here to becoming whole, or to be made whole. We must know about Christ. We have to know about him. You see, if people really knew, now I'm not talking about know his name, or maybe have heard of him, or seen him, seen a cross in front of a church, or have a necklace with Jesus hanging on it, or whatever. I'm talking about really knowing about Christ. If people only knew how present, how reachable, how powerful right now that Christ really is. If people really knew the saving power and the saving grace of Christ, they would quickly surrender their lives to him. But many simply just do not know who Christ really is. They might know of him, but they don't know him. They may have heard his name. They may think about that maybe it's just religion, but they really don't understand. They really don't know about Christ. And the two main reasons that so many people don't know about Christ is this. A, believers, that's us, the church, we have failed on their part, right? We have failed to be active Christ followers and go forth with the zeal and the passion telling their testimony about what Christ did in their life. That's what we saw right here in this little town that said soon after the news spread, what did the people do? They brought others to Jesus. Romans 10, 14, we know this, it says this. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? That puts a little bit, just a little bit, right, of responsibility on you as a believer, as me as a pastor. Not all the blame goes on us. Not all of it goes on us. The second reason has to do with those who fail to open up their closed minds and their hardened hearts and let Christ work. And there could be somebody, and chances are, there's somebody who can relate, or there's people that can relate to each one of these today. Unbelievers have failed to open their closed minds and their hardened hearts and really let Christ work. Ephesians 4, 18 says this: their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and they've hardened their hearts against him. So step one to becoming whole is that we really must know who Christ is. We really must know about Christ and how present and how powerful and how loving he really is. The second step to becoming whole is actually coming to Christ and bringing others with you. So when they arrived on the shore there, all right, Jesus, it didn't say Jesus had to go and find the people. What did the people do, church? They came to meet him. They knew about Christ. They came to see him. They came to Christ. Everyone has a responsibility to come to Christ. The people in the town of Gennesaret came to Christ to receive healing. They didn't go to a doctor. They didn't go to a shrink. They didn't go to a medicine bottle. They went to Christ. They didn't just attend a church service. They personally, in their heart, came to Christ. And the ones who had already encountered Christ, what did they do? They brought others to experience the healing that they had already received. They had that passion and that zeal that we in the church in America especially has lost. Or maybe in our lifetime we never even really had it. They had real love for their neighbors. They wanted others to have what they had. I believe this is one of the greatest shortfalls in our church today in America. We monopolize our faith. We get saved. We believe in Jesus, but we never really become a Christ follower. We never really become an active agent in the church, in the body of Christ. We never become a new creation. We kind of sit on the fence and we say, you know, I'm saved. I got my little stamp to heaven. I'm good. And let's just go back to living how I normally live. We expect the church leaders, the evangelists, the missionaries, the pastors, the Sunday school teachers, they'll tell everybody about Jesus and how he wants us to live in his grace, and he wants to forgive us, and he wants us to live a holy life. While we never personally accept our call as a true believer, there is no excuse, like we've talked about before. There is no excuse when you stand before a holy God who gave his son for you to say, God, I'm not good enough. I can't do that for you. I can't go out and tell people about you. Tell that to Jesus when he's hanging on the cross. Now, I could preach another hour or two on this point, but I'm not going to do that today, because that's not really the point of the message. But instead, I want us to listen to what God says about that. Listen to what he says in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. He said, now these are the gifts that God has gave the church, that God gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Listen to what verse 12 says. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do the work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So my job as a pastor is to come and to build you up and to teach you what God says in his word and what your responsibility is. Your job is to go listen to it and go do it and be a doer of the word, like James talks about. The pastor really needs to go do this. Y'all like, oh man, he's going there. Or the deacons, will you tell the deacons that they really need to go visit this person? Or you tell, you know, pastor, you really need to carve out time this week to take care of this problem. Or to go minister to this person. If God has laid something on your heart, why don't you do it? How about that for a new idea? You know, and I don't mind doing that. The deacons don't mind doing that. But if God lays something on your heart, you have the same Holy Spirit that I've got, that the Sunday school teachers have, that the apostles have, that the prophets have, and all those things. You have the same Spirit dwelling in you. Go minister to them. Go do it. If you want to become whole, you have to come to Christ personally. And you have to come to him and want to do what he says to do. Because that's where you find your purpose in life. And once you have Christ, I promise you this. If you have Christ, you will still struggle to be completely at peace in your soul until you accept your call and your duty as a believer. You'll never find complete wholeness until you, whatever you are, wherever you are, wherever you're going, whatever your business is doing, whatever it is, unless you really give that to God and say, God, what is my purpose and what can I serve you here where you've got me? You will never be at peace and never be completely whole. And you'll never be completely whole if you don't accept that call to bring others to Christ. That's your purpose once you're saved. That is your complete purpose. Let's look at verse 36 and we'll see the other steps to becoming whole. Verse 36 says this. They begged him to let the sick touch at least the fringe of his robe. And all who touched him were healed. Can you just picture that for a second? Can you just picture all the people just reaching out, just desperate, just to touch the very edge of his cloak, of his robe? We must recognize our desperate need for Christ, just like these people. This is the third step to becoming whole, is simply asking. It's that easy. Just come to Christ and ask him. Say, even begging, God, if I can just have a little bit of you. God, Jesus, if I can just have a little revelation about what you want for me and how much you love me, would you just beg me? I'll just fall on your knees and beg him. Say, God, just give me a little bit. Let me just touch the edge of your robe. So much that we come to him begging on our knees, fighting through the crowd. We come before Christ with a sense of humility. We don't care what others would say or think. We don't care about that. We just humble ourselves and we simply surrender to Christ. We recognize his power, his authority over life, and we say, I can't fix myself. I can't fill this hole in my life, and I want to be made whole in Christ. And you recognize it and you come to him and you say, you're the only one that can do it. And I'm here and I'm desperate for you. You see, if we want to become whole, if we really want peace in our souls, if we want to be made whole today, we must believe in the power of Christ. And we must humble ourselves before him and ask him for his help. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what, church? Oh, no, y'all got to do better than that. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what, church? That's a promise from God's word today. Jeremiah 29:13. A lot of these, we hear them over and over, but we need to hear them again. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. If you want to be made whole today, all you have to do is just come to Christ and ask Him. Beg Him if you think you need to. Beg Him. Come down and say, Lord, I need you today. Number four, the fourth step of being made whole is this. We must reach out to Jesus. So once we start, we know about Christ, and once we come to Christ, we must reach out. There's a little part, there's a lot of responsibility on our part. We have to reach out for Christ. It didn't say the people walked by Christ and got close to Him and they were healed. No, they reached out. They wanted a close relationship encounter. They wanted to touch His very clothing. See, most people don't reach out to touch Jesus because they have this idea that He'll say, get off of me. I don't want you touching me. You're getting too close to me. I'm holy and you're not. If that's you today, let me have the privilege as a pastor today and as a speaker for God to tell you the truth today about Jesus, about the Jesus that I know. See, we call the good news for a reason, because it's good news. Because Jesus doesn't shrink away from anyone who reaches out to Him wholeheartedly. He never has and He never will. God never shrinks away. So if you're here today and you've been rejected by another Christian organization or another church, maybe you've been hurt by a church members or church congregations in the past, maybe even a pastor at some point has let you down, maybe I've let you down. Maybe somebody was so wrapped up in religious rules and all those things that they said, you're not good enough because of this, 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 and that. You can't serve in the church because of this, that, or whatever. But I want to encourage you today, and I want to give you the promise today from God. Christ will never turn you away if you come to Him, reaching out to Him from the depths of your soul. Reaching out to Him in desperation. It doesn't matter how polluted you are. It doesn't matter how stained, how addicted, how sick, how diseased. It doesn't matter if you're just a plain sinful person. It doesn't matter. If you reach out to Jesus, He will take your hand and He will pull you close to Him. Just like we saw last week with Peter. Even when Peter wasn't fully focused on Jesus and he was distracted and he was sinking in the water, as soon as he cried out to the Lord for help, Jesus reached down and He pulled him up. We must reach out for Christ because He's the only one who can make us whole. John 1:12 says this, but to all who believe in Him and accepted Him, listen to this, He gave the right to become children of God. It's that simple. We make it so hard so many times and so often. So as we begin to close the service today, let's look at the final step to becoming whole. And we're going to spend a little more time here as John comes back up and the worship band comes. We must accept Jesus Christ and His power. We must experience His power personally in our life. If you don't experience, if you've never experienced the power of Christ in your life, working in your heart personally, it doesn't have to be in a church service. It can be in your bedroom. It could be in driving down the road. If you've never experienced the power of Christ working in your heart, you can never be made whole. If we come longing to be whole, it all has to start with us letting God work in our heart, letting the Lord Jesus work in our old hardened hearts. In fact, I was studying this week. I discovered that when the Bible says the people were healed, so that word healed that's in there, in verse 36, the original Greek word, which I'm not going to try to pronounce, the original Greek word that we translate into healed actually meant so much more, and it was so much of a deeper meaning than just a physical healing. It meant to be brought safely through danger. Think about that. They were brought safely. Those people were brought safely through danger. It meant to be saved through and through. Final. It meant that they were saved completely. Not one part of them was left unsaved and unhealed. So when we read that these people placed their faith in Jesus, when they begged Him just to let them touch the very edge of His cloak or His robe, it tells me that this sickness that they had was so much deeper than a physical deformity or some kind of sickness that they had. And it tells me that the healing they received was so much more than a physical healing. Did Christ also heal some of them that were probably physically sick? Absolutely. Can he and did he then and will he now, right now, and is he able to do that? Of course he can. But the healing that is most important is that healing that cures from the inside out. It starts within our heart and cures from the inside out. But the healing that is that we have to experience is that in our heart. That's in our heart. The healing that you receive when you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, or maybe your sickness, if you want to put it that way. We've all got sicknesses that we need to give to Christ. It's that healing that makes you a new creation in Christ. When you experience the power of Him working in your life, that's when you call it born again. I'm born again. John 3:3 says this, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He didn't say unless you're baptized a certain way. He didn't say unless you're sprinkled. He didn't say unless you're a church member. He says unless you are born again. Right? And he had to explain this to Nicodemus. Nicodemus said, well, how can someone go back in their mother's womb and come back out? He said, no. I'm paraphrasing here. He says, I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about your soul. You have to be born again. You're a new creation from the inside out. It's a healing that makes you whole. No matter what happens to your body physically, growing older, your disabilities, your imperfections, whatever it is, if you have experienced this spiritual healing in your heart, you know what it feels like to experience the power of Christ working in your life and in your heart. You had that moment that you can always go back to where you know you invited Jesus to be your Savior, to forgive you of your sins, and to also be the Lord of your life, to have control over your life, and to guide you. But if you're here today and you've never had that moment, it can happen right here and right now. You can be healed and made whole today, right now. All you have to do is just look at the people of Gennesaret. You just have to look to them as their example in these five easy steps that they showed us. They may have lived in a fertile and a beautiful land. They may have had all that they wanted, but they knew they still needed to have a relationship that went deeper with the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to make whole today? You want to be made whole today? Take a little trip to Gennesaret. Take a little trip to Gennesaret and go back and look at what they did. I was praying this morning. I was praying and we had some worship music going and I was just, the Lord just stirring my heart. And I said, God, come to Gennesaret again today. Come today to Fork Union Baptist and show up. And let people receive your healing. And you know what He laid on my heart? He said, I'm already here. I'm already there. The people need to come to me. And it just opened up my eyes to change the whole course of the message that I had this morning. That I had already planned out. You see, the people, they knew about Christ. You heard His name today. You heard about His saving grace. You know about Christ. Now you all have to do is when you know about Christ, or maybe you're a believer, bring somebody else with you. They humbled themselves and they asked. They even begged for His help. They reached out for Christ and they personally experienced His power working in their life. If you're not willing to follow these steps, you'll never truly experience the peace, the wholeness that comes from being made whole in Christ. So if you're here today, maybe you're listening online with us. Maybe you're listening to the podcast later. And you know you're not whole this morning. You know there's something missing. There's still those doubts and those struggles that you're carrying. You've tried everything else. You live in a great country. You have all these possessions, all these things you need. And probably most of the things you want if you're like me. But you know you need to be made whole in Christ. Let me leave you with this today. The people of Gennesaret probably had no idea what Jesus had been through to get to them. Are you listening this morning, church? They had no idea what He experienced out there in that storm that He endured to come meet their needs. But I want to remind us here today that Jesus not only endured the storm to meet their needs, He overcame it. He made it stop. He took it away. The wind and the waves stopped at Jesus' power. So listen to me this morning. Listen to me this morning. Jesus has already endured the storm of judgment for you. When He gave His life for you on the cross, it is finished, is what He said. He endured the storm of God's judgment for you so that you might be saved through and through Every part of you saved. Come today, just like the people of Gennesaret did, and be healed today. And you can experience the power of Christ in your heart personally, just like the people there did on that day. Hebrews 13:8 says this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If He's working on your heart today, come and experience the power of Christ as we sing.